I think really right now the point is not to change things, but to speculate and to think them, to truly try to understand what's happening. The rush to action, this I think has everything to do with my earlier discussion about our unwillingness to crack the narcissism of the Anthropocene and really look at ourselves. On the one hand, I think the things that we could do immediately to ameliorate contemporary life ways and the rudeness effect on the earth, these things are well known. You know, if it's just simply to make our footprint upon the earth softer, there's tons of things that we already know how to do. And what's most fascinating about that is knowing exactly what to do, no one has any confidence that we can do it, that it will happen. And most people fear that it would not happen. Now, who are we as a species that even these most obvious things would not in any way move us to action? That I think we should think about. That already is an opening cause for speculation. Number two, the point of the Anthropocene is not simply that our relationship, our footprint on the earth, is unkind to ourselves and to all other life systems. I think that its unkindness has to do with deep philosophical, religious, artistic, and scientific underpinnings. And those are hard to get to. A, they'll require, I think, a cracking of the Anthropocene as it cheapens all four of those disciplines. Two, I think new ways of being based on a deeper, more philosophically radical and inventive and thoughtful relation to nature. I think we have to engage the problem at its source. Rather than putting band-aids on the wound, I think we have to get to the source of why there's a wound. The Buddha was once asked by an emperor if he should put all the thieves in his kingdom to death, and maybe that would discourage stealing. And the Buddha said, no, you need to ask why there's so many thieves in your kingdom. That's sort of a question. Now, logically, ontologically, philosophically, we have to start with the etiology and not obsess only on the symptoms. Is there any way out? So, A, we're doing the only thing that has any long-term success other than merely reacting to the latest damage. Oh my God, you know, coal is doing this, oil is doing that, less oil, less coal. But we're not getting anywhere near the root problems. So I would say, if we're going to fail by doing the right thing, by asking the right questions, by retorting to the emperor, we need to ask why we're producing so many thieves. You know, why our life upon the earth is so extraordinarily ruinous, and how that ever could have appeared okay. Fail at these sorts of questions. Second thing I would say is, I don't think the audience for these questions is particularly large among our rulers, but I think this is the very grassroots issue, not only of our generation, but really of modernity. Modernity trying to get to the source of where it went wrong. I think modernity made some very good discoveries for our species, but it made some very big mistakes. And all the talk of postmodernity, the philosophical openings there are still to be appreciated, and it being simply a sociological account of the contemporary world means postmodernity was always a symptom of the hard unsolved problems at the heart of modernity, that it would simply spin out into the kind of nihilistic, alienated, utterly fragmented sort of world that we have. So I would say continuing to develop investigations and a discourse in dialogue that speak from and toward the unity of an ontological philosophy, deeply rejuvenated ways of being, we'll call that religion, science, and art. And it should speak, each in its own way, in a non-conflationary sense, to all of these. And it proceeds from a sense that their autonomy is not, therefore, their separation. So to speak in a voice of art, science, philosophy, and new ways of being religious, will this be heard? I don't know. I don't know. Should it be heard? What could be more important to want to be heard for saying?